From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, you're listening to Idaho Matters. As the cost of housing and inflation continues to rise, families all across the United States are struggling to make ends meet, especially here in Idaho. In fact, according to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, Idaho was ranked as one of the states with the highest percentage of unsheltered families. Now, these realities can be hard to cope with, but they can be even harder to explain to your child, which is why one local author wrote a new book. It's called The Bright Side, and it's opening up conversation around important topics like housing insecurity, food insecurity, as well as socioeconomic differences, but doing this all while finding the good things. Joining us today to talk more about his book is Chad Otis. Chad, it's really nice to have you on the show.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So can you start out by telling us a little bit more about your book and who the book is centered around?
Yeah, I'll give you the kind of the high level view of the whole thing. It's called the book's called The Bright Side, and it's based in my story. Basically, I grew up on a school bus after my dad lost his job from when I was about 4 till when I was about 8 years old. So for about 4 years, we lived on a school bus that my parents converted into our home. And there's a lot going on right now with what people call schoolies or freeganism or even white nomadism, where people are buying buses and converting them and living mm-hmm. in them. In 1972, that wasn't what was going on. It was a different, economic culture and so on. So it's based on my story, but in the end, it's kind of an amalgamation of how things were for me as a kid and how things turned out for me as an adult.
And, you talk about some really prevalent themes in the book, things like housing and food insecurity. Why are these important things to talk about with our children, whether they're in these situations or not?
I did more research once I decided to tell this story and really dug in and found out, some of the numbers like you were talking about. The Department of Education says that even as of 2019, the number of houseless kids or, housing and food insecure kids had grown by about 70% to about 1.3 million kids. So it's a growing problem. And like you said, it's a growing problem here, maybe even more than mm-hmm. other places. As people become more open to hearing these kind of social messages and awareness is raising around all of these things, I felt like it was a good time to tell my story, even though I knew it would be a hard story to tell in that, it's kind of hard to talk about for one thing. And the other part is that it would be hard to tell for kids in a way that's engaging and fun and informative, in a way that they still want to hear the story without it being kind of told from an adult perspective too much.
Mm. It's interesting. I just had a conversation with my 11-year-old, my fifth grader, the other day. He came up and he asked my husband and I, he goes, am I spoiled? and I kind of took a step back and I said, well, yeah, you are. I said, but here's why you are. And I said, you have a house. You never have to worry about food. You just open the pantry or the refrigerator and you just grab what you want. You never think about those things. If you need a new pair of shoes, we go buy you a new pair of shoes. Yeah. You don't have to worry about any of those things. And he kind of just looked at me, for a minute, like I was an alien. And then I said, because so many kids worry about those things. And I said, and you happen to go to a school and have friends that kids don't worry about those things. And I was like, and telling him about how he basically lives in a bubble. Right.
Yeah.
And his eyes just got so big and he was like, oh. And so mm-hmm. is that part of it for you, Chad, is that I think we feel like we don't want to burden our kids, but at the same time, I feel like, well, you can tell them in a way so that they understand the privilege that they have.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, there are more than a couple audiences for a story like this. I think, teachers, librarians, parents, obviously, mm-hmm. and then kids who are lucky enough to kind of have everything they need. And then kids, a lot of the kids who will be hearing this story probably at school will be, living a a version of this story to some extent. So, you know, I want each of these kids hopefully to get, you know, a takeaway from it that is, you know, for the kids who are housing and food insecure, I want their takeaway to basically be, you know, you're not alone. There is help out there. And, you know, you probably will be growing up a little bit faster and having to be resourceful, but out of that resourcefulness will come, accomplishment. And with that accomplishment will come some level of confidence and an ability to do things that maybe some other kids might not be able to do for a while. So, you know, to look on the bright side and, you know, kind of, you know, really embrace mm-hmm. that idea. They can come out having that sort of superpower, if you will.
So let's talk a little bit more about that, because you really emphasize in the book the importance of looking on the bright side. I mean, that optimism, right? And
right.
even imagination. So talk to us more about that. I mean, why was it so important to make sure that you did put an emphasis on that?
You know, I am lucky enough to be, even having gone through this sort of adversity, to have this sort of internal engine that tells me to kind of keep going and forget about the failures you've had and that sort of thing. So I guess I'm, you know, I was doing two things. I was telling my authentic story, just kind of saying, here's how things went for me. And at the same time, hoping that, you know, that could translate into something that kind of kids could hang on to and say, you know, I can see myself in this book. They say stories mm-hmm. are mirrors and windows, and it'll be both for some and, you know, one or the other for some kids. But I can see myself in this book. I can see how if I imagine and try and look on the bright side, I will be able to come out of this and I'll be able to come out of it maybe with some, you know, abilities that others don't have, like that resourcefulness.
Well, and resiliency, right?
Yeah, they definitely, you know, like it or not, like I said, these kids are growing up a little bit faster than other kids. They'll need to be resilient. They'll need to rely on themselves and, you know, be able to contextualize the world around them a little bit more than some other kids might. So, yeah, there's a lot there. And, you know, especially for me, kind of having lived this, so kind of, mm-hmm. you know, distilling it down to something that makes sense for kind of all the audiences involved was a challenge, but I feel like a lot of it's there. I hope kids see what they need to see in it.
So how long did it take you to write the book?
You know, that's always a tough question because depending on how you look at it, I could say a year. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, I wrote probably most of it in about a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but to get it from, you know, the initial writing of it, the conceptualization of it, really, to getting all of the exact words and ideas in there that I wanted to, that made sense and made every word count throughout the story, you know, was a process where I wrote it, you know, made a storyboard version of it, pitched it through my editor or through my agent to a bunch of editors. They came back with things they liked or didn't like by the book. And then I work with an editor to kind of refine it from there. So the whole process, people are always pretty surprised to hear, takes quite a while, as much as 18 months to go from an original idea to published book. But the short answer is it probably took me 6 months to write and illustrate the book.
Okay, and I want to talk about that because you illustrated the book too. So you right. didn't just write it. I mean, usually, especially with children's books, you'll have an author and you'll have an illustrator. Right. What was that process like, and why do both?
You know, for me personally, it's doing both is really kind of in my nature. I guess not unlike the book, I, you know, like to kind of grab the reins on all of it and try to make it happen. And especially, you know, I worked as an illustrator, an animator, creative director in the agency world for a long time. And so part of my job was to conceptualize things and pitch them and then, you know, prove that they might work in the market. So, you know, taking both parts of it is natural to me. And it's also really, there are a lot of benefits built into it, and that I get to, you know, kind of imagine how the images work with the words, and how, you know, few words or many words I need to use where the image can support what isn't told. It can, you know, I could show what isn't told in the show and tell quotient. So it, for me, it's quite a bit easier, and really kind of helps me produce something I think that works well with images and words together.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show and talking about this new book. You're going to have a story time at Rediscovered Books in downtown Boise, where you'll be reading your new book. So that will happen on March 4th at Rediscovered Books in downtown. Chad, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
We've been talking with author Chad Otis. It's about his new book, The Bright Side. And as I mentioned, he will be at Rediscovered Books on March 4th. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Race might be a hot topic right now, but for so many of us, talking about race is nothing new. On the Code Switch podcast from NPR, we go beyond the headlines and we go deep. Listen now.